It's hard to imagine Anazofi Mutter being intimidated, but at the thought of asking John Williams to write some music for her, she was terribly intimidated. However, she finally got up the nerve with the help of her late husband, Andre Previn, and she's just released a new recording featuring some of her favorite themes of John Williams. The composer didn't just create arrangements, he literally rewrote these pieces for her so that they would sound absolutely spectacular on the violin. That's what you're going to hear this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. The recording is called Across the Stars with Anazofi Mutter. I'm Julie Almacher. I want to start a little bit here at the beginning, Anazofi, and talk about what your relationship is to film music, because you grew up at the Black Forest, where Germany, Switzerland, and France meet. A beautiful place, but there wasn't a lot to do there when you were a teenager growing up. You played your violin.
Yes, that's
you
correct.
Played. Did you really play soccer, too?
Yes, I played soccer. I have two older brothers. And, of course, as a young girl, you know, as the youngest, you try to, or at least I tried to keep up. And, you know, I was very much a tomboy and very sportive, although deep down unsportive, but I pretended so I could be part of the, you know, of the boys group and play soccer and table tennis and all of that. And yes, there was not much else to do, but there was a cinema close by. And actually television was very restricted. So only when my parents would go out, which they did very rarely, would we run to the television to watch Tom and Jerry and, you know, relatively harmless stuff. But one of these early years in the 70s, actually when I already had played my debut with Herbert von Karajan at the age of 13 in 1978, in that precise year Star Wars came to the Black Forest. I should remember the images, but really what stayed in my mind more than the certainly breathtaking images was the music. This heroic grasp of, you know, a different galaxy and the leitmotifs of Princess Leia and Yoda. Everything was so beautifully crafted and so colorful and with an incredible emotional depth and fantasy and understanding of orchestration. I was just totally blown away. Earlier on, I had, of course, noticed other great film music in Hitchcock movies, for example, Bernard Herrmann or Erich Wolfgang Korngold, of course, come to mind. These were times when big symphonic orchestras were in use, which over the last decades seem to have diminished. And there is a new generation of film composers, many of them very skilled and very professional, but one can feel and hear the size of the orchestras is getting smaller. The understanding of all these very distinctive characters each instrument brings to a score and, you know, paints, that is diminished. So to make a long story short, John Williams' music stuck with me. And over the decades, over the last decades, when there were films where I got particularly moved by, you could be almost certain it was John's music. And then I started to go to films because of his music, even when the subjects in the films were not necessarily what I, you know, would have been drawn to. Like, let's see, War Horse, a film I wouldn't have watched if it wouldn't have been for the glorious score of John Williams.
Now, looking back, did you ever imagine you might be performing some of his music with him conducting and arrangements?
Julie, absolutely not. I mean, that is as far away as the galaxies in which Luke Skywalker, you know, and Princess Leia are living. No, absolutely not. And sometimes, you know, my life in many instances is, in retrospective, is a little bit surreal. But, you know, things happen and you meet amazing people, amazing geniuses. And when I met John Williams some 7 or 8 years ago at the grounds of the Tanglewood Music Festival, the summer residence of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, I was, of course, very starstruck. And my son was with me, who knows everything about John Williams. I mean, I'm not kidding. Really, every score, every film, all the dates, and so on and so forth. And the way John talked to my young son and how serious he took him, I got the feel that this is not only a genius as a composer, but also a very unique and sensitive human being. And I dared to right away ask him if he one day, would consider if, all his films with Steven Spielberg would maybe permit 5 minutes of breathing. Of course, my dream still is that he would write a violin concerto for me. And he very charmingly, but I wasn't surprised that he would turn it down, explained that he was just way too busy. And so time passed, and then one day markings arrived at my doorsteps. It must have had to do with the Christmas cookies. That's the story John Williams tells. And I didn't know that Christmas cookies would have such an effect. Maybe I should send more Christmas cookies to great composers.
Well, you have to share that story because you had asked him to write something for you, even a few bars.
Yes.
And as he tells it, you are not the type of woman to say no to. And then he promptly forgot that he had committed to that until those Christmas cookies showed up.
Yeah, but he wasn't intended as a reminder, really. I mean, who would think about musical bars when you have Lebkuchen arrive at your Christmas preparation? So anyhow, the way he reacted was just totally unforeseen by me, and so utterly charming and generous. And yes, he wrote definitely many more bars than I had sent cookies. So I feel very obliged to go to the post office right away and send some more hundreds of Lebkuchen. So Markings was premiered, a beautiful short piece for chamber orchestra, string ensemble, and harp and violin, was premiered 3 years ago at Tanglewood. And during that period of preparing Markings, and he also rewrote it after the world premiere. And we did record it actually, also now together with all these wonderful newly revisited famous film themes of his. After Markings was done, in a way, we were already very intensely into the dialogue of talking about some of my favorite film themes and what and to what extent of this long list would really serve the music well enough to permit the violin to slip into the role of the French horn, like in Princess Leia, and many, of course, of the scores I adore, like Catch Me If You Can, for example. Or yes, of course, the is it called the White Shark? This bass theme, and then of course something heroic as Superman or the main title of Star Wars. All what is particularly heroic for the winds, that is music which is almost impossible to adapt for the violin, because although it can be also heroic and very virtuosic, the violin is primarily also a lyrical instrument. So that of course diminished the wish list in a way. On the other hand, we found great treasures like Nice to Be Around. Song, a jazzy song from the film Cinderella Liberty from the 70s. And that jazzy theme, I mean, it's like, I hear the great jazz singer Billie Holiday. Very laid back, very melancholic. And for me, probably the theme which I cherish the most, because it is so different from the repertoire I have been living with for the last over 40 years.
One of my favorites is the Hedwig's theme.
Yep.
I saw your description of it as Harry Potter meets Paganini and also kind of a Carmen fantasy for the 21st century.
Yes.
I mean, this is a full-fledged violin concerto. It's very powerful. Would you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yep, yeah. Then, of course, it starts with the iconic celeste theme. Then the violin takes over that celeste theme, and it's a great challenge to imitate and really grow out of that knowledge of non-vibrato and this kind of airiness and transparency of the celeste. I have always been into sound colors, so that is the first step into the world of Harry Potter and Hedwig. And then John Williams composed this fabulous, sometimes even 12-tonal, cadenza in the middle of the many themes from Harry Potter's Wondrous World. And it just is, you know, the film in not a shortcut, but it's in a condensed, intense version of about 5 minutes. And it's wonderful to see a generation of my children, for example, who are in their mid-20s. And of course, we went to see the Harry Potter movies when they were younger and were just newly released. And to see how they treasure that music and what wonderful memories of family times and of going to the cinema and hearing it for the first time it brings to them. I take it as really a great present to me as a musician that I'm allowed to play such wonderful music, which is also stylistically quite different. You know, Hedwig is different from Cinderella, and then you have the dark Dracula, dark and seductive. And then you have Far and Away, which is very different. It's a kind of a folkstunish. John Williams has rewritten everything. He says that these are not arrangements. These are really pieces rewritten with, of course, the original theme in mind. But then, you know, everything has to be rewritten, recrafted. And that he did all of these themes himself is, of course, to the project, a godsend gift, you know.
Now, I had read a story that the late Andre Previn, your ex-husband, who was friends with John Williams.
Yes, since they were 19 years old.
So he told Williams, you can write anything for Anna Sophie. She can play anything.
Yeah, I don't know why Andre always was under this impression, but obviously we knew each other quite well, and he certainly knew all my, you know, weaknesses also as a musician, but he was still under the impression I could play anything, which is, of course, wonderful. And it's true that he was the kind of middleman. I mean, I never dared to call John Williams on the phone. So Andre would eventually call him, and, you know, and it was also Andre's suggestion when we were brainstorming about what would be becoming for the music of John Williams in terms of would it be good for the themes to transpose them for the violin. And Andre suggested some of his first ideas, Dracula, because he remembered that score with Frank Langella as the very seductive man with the cape. And then Cinderella also, maybe because Andre was very aware of my deep-rooted love for jazz. And, you know, the great Toots Thielemans brought that theme to life. And yeah, I couldn't be happier, you know, for this inspiration. So Andre is present in this this project also, because in the Hollywood studio in which we recorded with John Williams conducting in April, that was the place where Andre's life as a Hollywood composer started some, I think, 70 years ago.
Well, and this is the studio, Sony Pictures Scoring Stage, where so many film soundtracks were recorded. I mean, iconic ones, The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
Did that provide inspiration for you?
I'm actually glad I only heard about that on day three. I already was so intimidated, had never played the pieces other than for the composer himself, which already is, of course, super intimidating about 3 weeks before the recording. But I was, you know, I had enough problems on my hands. It was maybe good that I only heard about Singing in the Rain and, as you said, Wizard of Oz, and also many of the Star Wars scores were recorded in there. So yes, it provided great inspiration, but I was really glad it was not on day one. I was aware of the history I was surrounded with.
Now, is it true that you wore a Yoda t-shirt for those recording
Absolutely.
Sessions?
Absolutely. Yoda t-shirt and then a Princess Leia. It says, don't mess with the princess.
Oh, that's too fun.
I'm a great fan of both of them.
Well, I'm curious, because Andre challenged John Williams about writing things that, you know, maybe were a little more challenging. Did anything that he wrote for you, when you looked at the score, were you, like you've mentioned, being a little bit intimidated? Was there anything that he wrote for you that you were like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to practice more to learn this?
Some of it is really, really difficult, particularly, of course, the pieces who are intended to be very virtuosic. That is Hedwig, and then From Far and Away, the Donnybrook. The Duel is also aimed at that. That is definitely a music where there are passages you seriously have to, you know. And music is never really only about the sheer virtuosity, the speed and the jumps and all of that. I think what makes this array of different characters so special and difficult also is the fact that there are a lot of worlds, cosmoses of, you know, like Memoirs of a Geisha. And then you have Sabrina, which hints at Paris. And then you have Remembrances and Schindler's List. Then you have Star Wars. There are different worlds we have to evoke within 5 minutes, sometimes 3 minutes. And the way he does it in the musical language already is pure mastership. But then, of course, as a player, you also want to emulate the sound of a bamboo flute, like in Memoirs of a Geisha. So really switching between these very different worlds is what makes it utterly fascinating and also a great challenge for me as a musician.
Now, what did you find intimidating? You used that word, and I'm sure most people would go, Anna Sophie, how could she possibly be intimidated by anything? But what was kind of scary for you?
Maybe scary is not the right word, but just the fact that John has written so much great symphonic literature. You know, I think over 40 pieces, symphonies, a beautiful violin concerto in the 70s, cello works, just most recently last year, another piece for Yo-Yo Ma. He has worked with the greatest musicians. I mean, I was as intimidated by his skills and his genius as I am when I work with Penderecki or, you know, the great German composer Jörg Wittmann. So, and maybe even more so because it seems from the outside that John Williams's musical world and mine are far away from each other, which then if you meet and when you meet and work together, you find they are not at all. And that, I think, was a wonderful bridge. But, you know, John Williams is a genius who precisely knows what he wants, very well understands the violin, has an incredible in-depth understanding of phrasing, is ever searching for the perfect solution as a composer, always rewriting, reorchestrating, thinking about if that should be, you know, a half a note or a punctuated quarter note. I was totally speechless after these 3 days of intense rehearsals in March for the upcoming recording in April. I came back home and told my children, wow, I've learned so much. And they looked at me and said, oh, Mama, you don't say that often. And that shouldn't paint the picture of someone who is full of herself. I'm not at all like that. But, you know, it's rare that one runs across someone who is so incredibly knowledgeable and passionate and goes into such length and detail, has such love for music and understanding. I'm in total awe of him.
The world of classical music has not always been accepting of film music. And so it's interesting to me that you are finding this to be, it's almost like being awakened in some way.
You know, sadly, my home country is a little bit stiff when it comes to film music and the understanding that, you know, it's total equal grounds. They are incredibly skilled and wonderfully inventive composers in both worlds, in the so-called classical music world and in the film music world, which in a way is one and the same. But, you know, people love to put labels on things, so let's go with the labels. And yes, it's true, here in Germany, I think we have to, you know, learn more about the history of film music, and there are great founders and fathers, and John Williams is one of the founders and fathers, together with, for example, Wolfgang Erich Korngold. And maybe that is what made it such a treasure for me always, because I felt that particularly in my country, there is the need, not of education, but of maybe someone, you know, pointing out again that this is all one world. And maybe having been married to Andre and being such close friends for 20 years of my life until he passed away, he was just the example of what I would have loved to be as a musician, but I'm just not as gifted as he was. You know, changing from jazz to a film score, then, you know, conducting his opera, Streetcar Named Desire, playing a Mozart piano concerto, playing a Brahms sonata with me. I mean, he was just a real musician. And I think the focus on someone who is as broad-minded as John Williams, who is mainly known as a film composer, but is not only a film composer. I think pointing that out from time to time, also in a country where people are not so aware of that, is what made it even more special for me, or more pressing.
I'm just listening to you and how excited and passionate you are about this project. And I'm imagining that having this opportunity to work with John Williams, it sounds like a bucket list item for you.
It is definitely, Julie. Yes, it's one of the great, really great times in my life. I have learned so much, and I have had, and I am having, such an immensely rich and fruitful and inspiring time in conversation with the great composer, in playing his pieces, in finding more about out about his music, but also about, you know, what I can learn and you know, what is in me and what needs to be growing more. And it's just another very important mosaic in the quest to enlarge the violin repertoire and show this gorgeous instrument, this limitless instrument, in all its splendor, and leave repertoire behind for the next generation.
The only final question I might ask, when you mentioned you've learned a lot, I'm curious, what have you learned about yourself in this process of making this recording and sharing this music?
I've learned that I can learn a lot and still go on learning, and that there's no limit to learn, and that it's a great privilege to, from time to time, encounter people in your life who are such a source of inspiration and of love for what they are doing and of passion. And I'm always very, very grateful when, you know, these personal relationships suddenly develop, and also show that music is the greatest gift, really, I think, for manhood, in terms of that it brings us all together, and that it unifies us in the same, you know, or similar emotions with so many different, you know, different cultures sitting next to you, different beliefs. But when you hear the theme of Star Wars, or just this miraculously beautiful Hedwig with all the innocence and miracles possible in life, it's just wonderful to see how music embraces us. And it doesn't necessarily always has to be Schiller's Ode to Joy, you know. So I think John Williams' music is really a gift to many generations, because it brings back these memories of, also of family time, shared time together, emotions you have shared. And films and music, you know, they can be great art, and they are certainly a binding force between generations and between different cultures.
That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. If you're enjoying New Classical Tracks, the best thing that you can do for the show is tell somebody else about it, help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcast app. I'm Julie Albacher.